Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful Sunday, February the 19th, 2017. That's what this satsang is being recorded for. We're going to look at one of my favorite subjects, worry. We'll talk about the human nature and all of that, and I'm very grateful that you're here to talk about it. Before we begin, I want to thank my sponsors, all of them, who make all this possible. It is only through their gifts that you are listening to this radio program, watching my TV programs on the website at aspire.org. We have all sorts of programs there for you to peruse and take a look at, things that I think are very important to your spiritual essence, your life, the meaning of it, the whole thing. It's all there for you. And for those of you who become sponsors, you will receive all of the CDs that I made over the years for each individual set of TV programs. I always made CDs that were a little deeper, a little more detailed, as it were, for all the series I did on TV, and I still do that for our TV programs, and you can go and peruse all of them. You can download them. They're all there for free. They're all there to serve you. They're all there to be of help to humankind, and I sincerely, sincerely hope that you will become a sponsor. You get the message of the month each and every month, a new message, podcast, video cast, commentaries twice a month, as well as all of the Aspire programs that have been there for years to serve you and have, they're very important. They're about how to live your life from the essence of that which lives within you, something magnificently beautiful. And if you're interested, go take a look at Why Support Aspire while you're there at the website at aspire.org. It'll tell you all about where your money goes and how it serves humankind, and it truly does. You know, this whole thing of being spiritual is something that people look at and they think of as an elective, a hobby that they do. And it's really not a hobby. It's a way of life, and you have to have this call on the inside. And sad to say, but it's true, not a lot of people have that call, and they don't hear it. They don't think they need it, and that's how we get misunderstood a great deal. So I sincerely hope that you will enjoy my offerings on the website and become a sponsor. Worry. I am the NCAA worrier if I were to let my mind go. Now, it's always in the background. I looked up the word worry, to give way to anxiety, to allow one's mind to dwell on difficulties and problems, to cause to feel anxiety or concern about something. So there you are. That's the definition. The first question comes from Jan in Cincinnati, Ohio. I listen to you every day. I love your radio programs and your TV programs. Wow, what a trip. So you admit that you're a worrier. How can you be a spiritual teacher that worries? How can you help us stop worrying, Jan? Jan, I don't try to control Greg. You know, there are two separate entities here. The Greg, who is the human, he's a part of Ed and Jean Penn, the makers of his body. He has all sorts of foibles and flobbles, just like any human being would. On the other side of that coin is the part that is very much eternal and very much belonging to something other than Ed and Jean, something that belongs to nothing, no thing at all. And when I am teaching or I'm doing my life work, whether it be at hospice or I'm doing radio or TV, I learned years ago how to let Greg be Greg and let Siraj be Siraj, how to migrate over and stay there. And that's the key, to stay there and watch Greg worry. Now, how can I teach you? It's really easy. I watch Greg go through what he goes through. I don't go through it with him. I don't do him. There's no need to do him. He is just what he is. He is a product of his mother and his father and his genetics. And I don't look at him and condemn him. I don't look at him and try to improve him. I just don't. And whatever he needs to go through is what he needs to go through. But that doesn't mean that I can't live in the flow, the ebb and flow of my heart, my soul, my essence, my being. It doesn't mean that I have to live according to the plan of his ideas and his worries and his woes and his concerns. It's just the way he is. I don't acknowledge what he goes through. I don't give it as a part of my personality. I don't give it as a part of my everyday living. He's not a part of my lifestyle. And I've learned how to maturate over to the other shore, as it were, while I let him be what he is. And when he starts to get nutty or wants to get nutty and invade, I get quiet. The antidote for all personality, ego, vanity, pride thing, the antidote, and I say this with great direct experience, great authority, is silence. Watching the breath and being quiet. So very quiet. And the quieter I am, the more I recognize the nature of what he's all about. And I never, ever venture over and try to make him what he can't be. I just leave him alone. Sometimes I hear him in the background, Jan, banging away. I can hear him. It's like a very bad neighbor down the street. And I hear him going, "What am I doing?" And I hear that going on all the time. I don't let that bother me. And I don't look at that as some kind of failure. I understand the nature of him, and I also understand what he's all about. I don't worry about what he wants, what he thinks, what he believes in. I just don't worry about it. He is what he is, and he thinks the way he thinks, and that's the way the whole thing works out. So I don't allow him to overtake me. And really, to be honest with you, he's a person, but Siraj, that's a presence. And you've got to know the difference, Jen, between a person and a presence. A person is fundamentally the psychology, the body, the skin and bone, flesh and blood of your earthly experience. But within that earthly experience is the presence of something greater than anything I could ever think. And I always know when I'm in the presence because I am not thinking in duality anymore. And when I am not thinking in duality, I don't even have thoughts. Thoughts do not exist. I am doing this radio program thoughtlessly. I am not concerned about my thoughts. I'm not concerned about Greg. He has a long day ahead of him. It's 3:30 in the morning, blah, 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 blah. And I could go into that and tell you all sorts of ways and woes, but it doesn't matter. I'm with you. I'm doing this radio program with you. I am not concerned about what he's thinking about and what he wants. It is the presence within me that makes all this possible. And when I understand the presence, I understand the life and the love and the beauty of it all. And I don't need thought and I don't need to fight him. I have a whole entire separate reality, Jan. And it's so beautiful. I don't disturb it with thought. I find the still point. And I just stay in that still point, wanting nothing with all of my heart, which is the secret to it all. So I hope that helps you. You ask a very poignant and beautiful question. Remember, no one is perfect. Nothing is perfect, yet everything on this earth is perfectly imperfect. You can't use dualistic thinking to understand the nature of the bigger picture. So accept things as they are. Don't think that you have to be perfect to be in love or loved. Move along. Move into love through the kindness of your heart and the validity of your soul. You'll get it. Just like I did years ago. And the funny part of it all is the human part of us can do whatever they want, but it really won't matter because it's the love in your heart that truly matters. I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, I traveled India and I sat with quite a few different living masters in the days and in my day, and every one of them had foibles and flaubles, and I never really cared too much about it. I never looked at it as, I just didn't look at it as an issue, because what was emulating from their presence was more powerful than my interpretation of them. And it is true even to this day. It took years to master this a little bit. And I only have it, you know, I am not a great spiritual teacher or master. I am aware, but that's about it. And when I am in that awareness, and I am there most of the time, and my students will be able to tell you that, I see the bigger picture of everything, and it is so beautiful. Please listen to me. Don't try to be perfect. Try to be authentic. Be authentic. Be authentic in everything you do. Be real in love in everything you do. It is enough. The next question comes from Mary. No, excuse me, May. I'm sorry. From May in, where is this? Florida. When I worry, I accept the worst and hope for the best. It seems to work for me. Why do you say this is the wrong approach, May? Well, May, I'm not saying it's wrong, and I never said it was wrong. I just said it was very self-defeating in one of my radio programs. It's dualistic, and it tears us down. So you have a situation where you could be worrying. It could be, you know, the tests don't come back until Monday and you're on Friday. And, you know, it could be a lot of different things that worry a person. And hoping for the best and accepting the worst is something that seems to work for the human psyche. But you're more than the human psyche. It doesn't leave room for inspiration. It doesn't leave room for the still point, the gap, the pause, the spaces between your thoughts, which is where the message really is. The human cycle is going to do what the human cycle's going to do. The human being does what the human being does, and it just goes over and over and over and on and on and on, blah, 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 and it never truly matures or grows at all. It just stays the way it is, worrying and fretting, and then hoping that things will work out, but being kind of dualistic and undermining the hope by, preparing for the worst. It seems rather ridiculous to me. It's sinister to me. That's so sinister. So the way to look at it is, I can't be dualistic. I have to take the attitude, and I hope you can understand this, come what may. And whatever it is that is coming or has arrived, though I may not be able to see it or process it or think about it or whatever, I allow it to come forth through me. I do not fight it. I do not resent it. Come what may. There's always something, May, in everything. that is there to serve the higher purposes of our own life. I don't know what, you know, it is for you or what it might be for me right now. I don't know. But there's always something higher, more beautiful than you might ever imagine. And until you understand the nature of how things work, the gears, the process of how things work, you and I will always be subject to our fear, our anger, our hatred. We'll always be in that constant difficulty of thinking that there is right and wrong and good and bad and fortunate and unfortunate. And that's not the case at all. Depending on the nature of my karma and what I have done with the rest of my life, I am put in what the human being calls precarious positions to learn to grow and mature past whatever it is I believe is good and bad or right and wrong. It is a very difficult thing to do, to understand the nature of all of this. But it can happen. And here's what you need to understand. Not my will, thy will be done. Jesus had it in the Garden of Gethsemane. And imagine the worry he must have felt, which he talked about, that this was troubling to him, the whole thing of his crucifixion about to arise. And he knew every player that was going to play this out, from Judas all the way through to Pontius Pilate. He knew exactly what this situation was going to be in the form of its human pain. I don't know if he knew his outcome. I don't know. I really don't know. And don't let anybody tell you they know, because we don't know. Until you're in the direct experience with that time in that place, we wouldn't know. But I can tell you, thy will be done was a very brave thing to say, to live, and to surrender to. Most of us succumb to our weaknesses. What Jesus was trying to do in that moment was to go beyond his weakness, his human foibles. Everybody has them. People want to pretend that there are supermen or superwomen who have no problems. They have everything answered. They've got life under control, blah, 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 blah. It isn't true. No one does. Not even Jesus, not Jesus, not Buddha. They all face the same thing. So hoping for the best, but preparing for the worst, well, it's dualistic and it divides you. And when it divides me as a person, then I am conquered. I am absolutely conquered. There is no way I'm ever going to mature or grow past that. It means I don't trust what I can't see, what I can't think, what I can't reason, what I can't hold in my logic. And life is so much more than that. It is filled with things that I cannot see. I cannot logify through my brain. It's a great mystery that we live in. And if I allow that mystery to overtake me, I'm in for the most beautiful experiences I could ever have. I get refined. And that's what these experiences are all about. They refine me. They pare down my stupidity. That's really what it's all about, paring down my stupidity. So there you are. It's a really simple process. You'll probably continue doing what works best for you, as you say, May, but it won't help your spirituality. It won't elevate you, I should say. And in life, that elevation is the most important thing that you could ever possibly experience. I hope that helps you in some way. Please forgive me. Namaste. It is interesting how we try to be practical about everything. And I think most people do what May does. you know, you hope for the best and prepare for the worst, and that's the best you can do. And stay out of just kind of going, come what may, come what may. Last one comes from Thomas. Greg, I worry that what I fear most will come upon me. Will it, Thomas? I don't know you, Thomas. You know, I've never met you, so I don't know what the state of your being is in this regard. I can kind of feel it, but I can't tell you exactly what it is. I understand what you're saying to me, though. This is a biblical quote, and I understand the nature of the quote about being afraid of what might happen, and that fear can bring it on. And quite frankly, it's true, it can bring it on. Will it bring it on? It depends on you. It depends on your resolve. It depends on the state of your consciousness, the state of your being, the state of your life, the amount of love in your heart, how much consciousness you have developed through that love in your heart. And if you have worked upon yourself, then these fears are nothing more than the ego just taunting you and trying to make fun of you, as it were. And that doesn't help you at all. So if you really want to get past this, you have to start looking at the state of your being. Are you going to ruin your life by worrying about everything that could or possibly could happen, and then sitting there and doing nothing with your life because you're worrying about what could happen? Courage. You have to have some horsepower in there, in your heart. Do you trust in love, or do you and I not trust in love? That is the question. To be or not to be? That is the question. To be what? To be love? To be the great love that lives within, that has nothing to do with thee or your body, your mother, your father, your family, your friends, your community? It's the love that lives profoundly as the presence of you in your own life. Or are you going to succumb to the whole idea of all sorts of tragedies that you can conjure up in your brain that make you believe that this is what's possible and this is what could happen to you? The choice is yours, my dear friend, not anyone else's. And you can do with your choice whatever you want to do with it. If you want to make this a difficult life and a difficult situation and a difficult world, you can certainly do so. But I say the things that I fear most in this lifetime, I eventually will face in some manner or another, whether it be directly in my own life or in the life of someone I care very much about or I love very deeply. It could be one of my students. It could be anything. It could be a stranger, someone I've never met, that comes into my life through hospice. This happens a great deal. And all of a sudden, you see, I befriend everyone. I feel that everyone is me in a form that I cannot tangibly tell you exists through my logic and reasoning. But it's there. Every person is me in some form or another. You are me in some form or another. I am you in form and in an odd and metaphoric way. So, why be afraid? Why not put love forward? And whatever must be, will be, and it is always for the most powerful experience, the most conscious and beautiful experience a person can have. It is never as punishment. It's never as reward. It is whatever happens as entree into love. And that is the ultimate truth of everything. Everything is working towards love. I gotta go. I'm running out of time. I hope that helped you. I really do, Thomas. And thank you for your very beautiful email. I was very touched by the words you used and how you were talking about Aspire. very, very, very kind of you. I'm out of here. Have a wonderful weekend. Come to the website at aspire.org, and may it all serve you well. There's TV programs and radio programs and all sorts of beautiful things there to serve your heart and your soul. I'm out of here. Namaste.